Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello, Raider Nation, and welcome to another edition of the Believe in Raiders podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dennis Ackerman. Well, what a difference a week makes. On my last podcast episode, I didn't think the Raiders would release or trade Trent Brown if they let go of fellow offensive lineman Richie Incognito and Gabe Jackson. Turns out, I couldn't have been more wrong. As the silver and black dealt Brown to the New England Patriots. Now, the move helps clear nearly $14 million in cap space for the Raiders, but the bad news is they now need three starters on the offensive line. Earlier this week, the league announced the salary cap would be $182.5 million, and the Raiders are approximately $30 million under after all the moves they've made, which include the Brown trade, and releasing the following players: Richie Incognito, Gabe Jackson, LaMarcus Joyner, and Tyrell Williams. And I'm not sure if the Raiders are done yet either. We need to monitor the Marcus Mariota situation because that's an additional $11 million in cap space if they let the backup quarterback walk away. So heading into the offseason, we all thought the Raiders had a lot to figure out on the defensive side of the ball. Well, think again. Now, I think one quick fix to help shore up the line would be to sign free agent Denzel Good. Let's bring him back. I mean, in 2020, he filled in at various positions before settling in at left guard, and he played very well. John Simpson's still on the roster. He was a fourth-round pick last year, and he played in seven games, including two starts, but I'm not sure he's ready to become a full-time starter. So where does that leave the Raiders? I mean, do they look at free agency? Are they looking at the draft? A lot of pro days going on right now. Perhaps they can find someone at the D2 or FCS level. I think that's what we're calling it these days. And there's plenty of games to see this weekend, 38 in all. And you can check on the games at betonline.ag, which is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. When the NBA is in full swing, college basketball heats up as the schools make their way to the madness. Yes, the tournament is coming, and so is the $100,000 bracket madness contest, as BetOnline is the spot to be for all your bracketology needs. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. I mean, it's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So what are you waiting for, Raider Nation? Head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, for more on where the Raiders go from here and other storylines heading into free agency, let's welcome in Russell Baxter, founder of ProFootballGuru.com. Russell, thanks for taking the time to join me.
My pleasure, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. So before we start talking Raiders and storylines, you like to do something on Twitter, and I find this very fascinating. You're counting down to the NFL draft. Yesterday was day 50. You talked about Mike Singletary, the Hall of Fame linebacker. Tom Brady threw 50 touchdown passes in 2007. We're taping.
As did Patrick Mahomes in 2018.
There we go. Get that one in as well. We're taping this one 49 days out. So what did you do for today?
Bobby Mitchell is probably the guy that stands out the most as far as a Pro Football Hall of Famer, or all-purpose back. You know, those great Browns teams, also with Washington as well. You know, a guy who you probably don't think of as a Pro Football Hall of Famer because he's taken such a backseat to some of the other great Browns running backs for the most part, but certainly has the credentials, was a dynamite player. And, you know, running backs wearing number 49, that's probably, you know, it's not something you see anymore either. It's like trying to explain to people that Jack Youngblood, the defensive end, wore number 85.
Or how about what Brad Van Pelt, the linebacker for the
10.
Nice for 10, right?
Yes.
Yes. You know your numbers clearly. You know, I was thinking, I'm like, who are some great players that wore 49? I couldn't really think of any. I'm like, okay, what about great Raiders? And I couldn't even think it'd be great Raiders. I had to go all the way back to the 70s, a wide receiver, number 49, Mike Siani. I mean, that's going way back.
And that's a wide receiver wearing in the 40s.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you know, years and years ago, they changed the rules as far as, you know, uniform designation and so on. But I love those, the older players who were basically allowed to wear anything they want. And like you said, we talk about Youngblood and you talk about Van Pelt, and there's so many other examples as well. So, but it's fun to do. I do it for the Super Bowl. I do it for the draft. I do it for the start of the preseason. I do it for the Hall of Fame inductions. It gets people going. I mean, there's certain numbers that spur more conversations than others. A couple of years ago, I did an actual poll, whereas, you know, you pick who the best is. But I mean, when you get to number 34, you got Walter Payton, you got Thurman Thomas, you got Earl Campbell.
Who'd you go with best at number 34?
Well, I don't necessarily pick the best.
Okay.
Fans do that and so on. If I was going to choose, I mean, Earl Campbell to me was the scariest thing I ever saw run the football. But Walter Payton, I believe, is still not only the Bears' all-time leading rusher, I think he's still their all-time leading receiver. And Walter Payton also threw 8 or 9 touchdown passes. So as far as a complete football player, he's about as good as they get.
I agree. I think Walter Payton, isn't he the last running back or maybe one of the only running back to throw 2 touchdown passes in a game? And I think he did it against the Saints.
I think he did it against, it might have been 1983 he did that, I think. I'm just guessing. I'm throwing it out there. I think it was a wild game in the Superdome, if I remember right. But, you know, between the stiff arm and the relentless running style and so on. It's too bad Walter's not around anymore. It's, you know, really a shame. But, boy, he was and to think he really cut his bones early in his career as more of a kickoff returner and then, you know, in 1975 and then splashed onto the scene in 76. You think about physical football players, and we think about the Jack Tatums and so many other guys, Deacon Jones, you know, the hard hitters of today and so on, which not as many as there used to be because the rules are a little different. But as far as physical football players, you know, Walter Payton's right up there.
Right. And you started to talk about quarterbacks. I mean, if we're going number 12 for this podcast, we're going to go Kenny Stabler, Russell.
I'm so glad to eventually see him get into the Hall of Fame. You know,
late 70s,
you know, I've been watching football for 50 years. I'm 61 years old. And I've told people this day, we talk about the Elway comebacks and the Peyton Manning and Brady and all those different things. But in the 70s, there were two quarterbacks who you had to make sure there was no time left on the clock or they were going to somehow find a way. One was Roger Staubach. And the other was Ken Stabler. They didn't win all the Super Bowls and all that. I mean, you know, Ken Stabler, you know, Super Bowl 11, and, you know, Staubach, yeah, Super Bowl 6, Super Bowl 12. You know, the Steelers were really more the team of the 70s and so on. But as far as dangerous, I mean, what greater play there? I mean, there's a ton of them the sea of hands in the 74 divisional playoffs between them and the Dolphins. Well, I mean, it's still a classic almost 50 years later.
And you got the Holy Roller.
The Holy Roller. And maybe one day we see Cliff Branch get into the Hall of Fame. I do pieces on Hall of Fame admissions, and he's been my number one for a couple of years.
What do you think the chances are at some point?
Well, you never say never. I mean, Jerry Kramer waited 40 years, and he finally got in. And he was pretty gracious about it, too. I know some people get a little more impatient. You know, it's like, Drew Pearson just got – I think Drew Pearson just came out and don't quote me. I only saw a quick hyperlink and so on. But I think Drew Pearson had something to say about Cliff Branch recently as far as maybe the next great wide receiver, the seniors committee and so on. Cliff Branch, speed kills. I mean, he was not part of three championship teams. But, you know, the big plays and so big in the postseasons, all the postseasons in which he played. Okay. I know the running game kind of stood out for in Super Bowl 11, but I mean, you know, he bedazzled the Eagles in Super Bowl 15, scored a touchdown in Super Bowl 18. I mean, he was, and by the way, a wide receiver wearing number 21.
Yes, he was. I remember going to games at the Oakland Coliseum as a kid, Russell, and the banner was in the corner of the end zone.
Yeah.
I came down, it said speed kills, and it was number 21. And
if you go on FanSided, a shameless plug, and you look at my latest piece, which I did a month or so ago, about the top 30 players not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and hopefully they all get in one day, and there's so many more than 30, that picture is in the piece.
Who are your top five? I know he's number one because I did read the article. Give me two, three, four, and five.
I'm trying to remember. I did it a while ago. I mean, Branch is one. I think Zach Thomas was two.
Linebacker from the Dolphins.
I'm just throwing him out there and so on. Kenny Anderson is on that list.
What about for the Bengals?
Ken Riley, both of the Bengals. Ken Riley, 65 interceptions. Jim Marshall, I think, should be in there. Again, I'm giving you more than five.
That's okay. Jim Marshall's not in the Hall of Fame.
No, Jim Marshall's not in the Hall of Fame.
That's an interesting one.
Played a lot of years. I mean, you know, the Hall of Fame has its own criteria. By the way, for conspiracy theorists, the NFL does not run the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Okay? I hear many times, and I hear it from Raider fans in particular, because they think there's this bias toward Al Davis and all that. The NFL... The Pro Football Hall of Fame is a separate entity. I've been attending the ceremonies for about 30 years. I know many of the people, in fact, some of the people I've dealt with 30 years have now recently retired. But that's not, the NFL is not telling them what to do. I've heard people complain there's no football players on the selection committee. That's incorrect as well. Dan Fouts, I believe, is on there. I believe James Lofton is on there. Tony Dungy is on there. Of the 48 committee, so they've evolved in that way. I think what happens with the Hall of Fame sometimes is you have to keep in mind that pro football as we know it began in 1920, okay? The Hall of Fame began in 1963. That's a lot of catching up to do. And I know and they tried to do some of that, you know, last year with the centennial class. Unfortunately, never saw them actually get inducted and all that, but... you know, maybe they need to expand, you know, the seniors committee and different things. So there's a backlog. There's no question about it. And, you know, hopefully people get in, and I know people kind of, you know, why did you get in before he passed away, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know what you do about that. Okay. But the honor is, you know, I've attended those ceremonies so many times. And the thing that strikes me is, it's about the player, and as much so, it's about the family. It's very important to the family. So,
all right, Russell, let's talk free agency. It begins next Thursday.
Wednesday.
Beg your pardon, next Wednesday.
That's all right. No problem.
Recap.
I'm tuned in.
It's been set at $182.5 million, much lower, obviously, than teams would have anticipated a couple years ago. So do you think teams are going to show any kind of financial responsibility, or just we're going to back up the armored car and we're going to, you know what, come get it. Here's your cash.
they don't have a choice if you really think about it. And you're seeing that right now with teams having to get under the cap. It's lower than they anticipated. I should say it's lower than they anticipated probably a year ago at this time. Now it's a little higher than they thought. We were hearing $175 million, okay? And then they bumped it up to $180 was going to be the minimum. And now they settled at $182.5 million. But every, you know, years and years and years, the cap goes up, doesn't usually go down. So I think that's why you're seeing these veterans get cut. And, you know, some surprising cuts, some not so surprising cuts. And I will be surprised if somehow, some way, some of these guys wind up back on teams with renegotiated contracts. But for right now, they have to get under that cap by 4 o'clock next Wednesday. Okay. So it's like when you're getting ready for the draft, Dennis. Some people don't realize this. It almost happened to the 49ers during the first year of the salary cap. If you're not under the salary cap for the draft, you're not allowed to participate in the draft.
Oh, I don't think a lot of people know that. And that's the first time I've ever heard.
Unless they change the rules sometime soon. No, you're not. But see, no team has really even come close to that.
Right. But still, that's very.
But the first year of the cap, the 49ers were in really a tough situation. Remember, free agency started in 93.
Right.
Cap didn't start until 94. And then in 93 is when you saw like Reggie White go to Green Bay and some of the other more prominent guys. And 95, it then. People understood what they were doing and so on. And you saw all the quarterbacks sign with different teams and et cetera, et cetera. Now you don't really get your quarterback in free agency at all. So, but yeah, this is a little bit of a dip down. And now that we know what the cap is, I think that the moves are really going to come fast and furious.
What do you think the biggest surprise is, your point of view, that's been cut so far?
It's hard to ignore the Chiefs cutting both their starting tackles. I know neither one of them played the Super Bowl this past year, but and you know, while Eric Fisher was the first overall pick back in 2013, Mitchell Schwartz is an outstanding player. He was I never could believe the Browns a couple of years ago put him on the open market. I was stunned. With him and Joe Thomas made up one of the best tackle combinations in the last 10, 15 years. So, and we saw what happened to Patrick Mahomes without starting those starting tackles. So, maybe it's time for them to rebuild their offensive line. And I know that sounds like recency, but when you see that happen and you just think about the turn of events, they win a Super Bowl, Schwartz gets hurt in the middle of the year, Fisher gets hurt in the AFC Championship game, neither one playing the Super Bowl, and both were released today.
All right, Russell, most fans look at free agency like it's Christmas morning. They got a shiny new toy to add to the roster now. But, I mean, a lot of these guys are free agents for a reason. So is it buyer beware when it comes to a lot of these guys?
I think this year, because of the way the cap is, Dennis, some of these guys are free agents not for a reason other than the fact that teams can't afford to get pay big money and so on. But somebody's going to pay big money. You've got teams like Jacksonville, the Jets, who have a lot of cap room. Of course, they also have a lot of different needs. So most of these players who are out here, and I'm not talking about the guys who can be signed now, guys who had their contracts terminated can be signed immediately. That's why J.J. Watt is with the Cardinals. He didn't have to wait till March 17th. That's why Mark Ingram joined the Texans today. Okay, he was cut loose by Baltimore, so he can be picked up. It's the guys whose contracts technically expire on Wednesday afternoon. Now we get the legal tampering thing. So some of that stuff is going to leak out Monday and Tuesday and then become official, just like the trades, the Carson Wentz, Jared Goff trade. Okay. Those aren't official until Wednesday.
Right.
Again, I don't know if it's buyer beware. I think it's just buyer be careful of how much you spend, especially this year where you don't send your finances out of control. And there are, I mean, you look at teams like the Eagles who are getting rid of so many players and the Saints, you know, who are cutting people left and right. The Rams, you know, still have a lot of trimming to do or some refurbishing to do or restructuring to do. So I think after we get through free agency for the most part in the draft, I'll be curious if some of these teams who cut players, if they are not picked up by somebody, that they maybe return to teams at a lower price. Okay. And it might just be a one-year price, Dennis. Okay, because if life gets back to normal next year, maybe the cap goes way up.
Russell, give me one player who you would empty the bank for.
It's a running back, and it's Aaron Jones. And
his Green Bay Packers.
Yes. He's made a big difference with Green Bay. You know, even though Aaron Rodgers has put up his share of fantastic numbers and low interceptions, as years went on with Mike McCarthy, they got away from balance. And it became Aaron Rodgers this and Aaron Rodgers that, very much like Peyton Manning in his latter year with the Colts. Okay, they got away from Edgerrin James wasn't there anymore. And they were balanced. But balance is what wins in this league, not high quarterback numbers. Okay, that's why, you know, it was funny you talking about the countdown of Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady throwing 50 touchdown passes. Well, one of them lost the Super Bowl and the other one didn't even make it to the Super Bowl. And Peyton Manning had the record. He threw 55 and his team only lost by 35 points in the Super Bowl. Okay? So there's only been two quarterbacks to throw at least 40 touchdown passes in the season and win the Super Bowl the same year. One was Tom Brady this year. The other was Kurt Warner in 1999. By the way, no quarterbacks ever led the league in passing yards and won the Super Bowl in the same season. That's 55 years of that. So you better have some balance. You better have some defense if you're going to win a team sport.
Russell, I find that very fascinating because I think the theory is, you know what, we got to be throwing the ball 50 times and put up huge numbers. We don't have to be balanced to win the Super Bowl. And then because these running backs are a dime a dozen and we can replace them at any point. But you make a very good argument for the running back position.
Here's what I know. In this high-flying age of football, two teams have gotten to the Super Bowl in the past 3 years and didn't score a touchdown. That would be the Rams, and that would be the Chiefs.
Yeah, Rams against the Patriots and the Chiefs.
Right. They got a field goal. Yep. The Chiefs got three field goals.
Right.
Okay, but they were the number one offense in the league this year, Dennis.
Yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit more about quarterbacks now. I don't think Russell Wilson is going anywhere this year. Perhaps maybe next year, but I think he's staying in Seattle at least one more year. Deshaun Watson with the Texans, I think that's a divorce waiting to happen. How do you see that playing out, Russell?
I think that, quote-unquote, what you call a divorce, happens maybe closer as we get to the draft to see who blinks first. Because he insists that he'll sit out, and they insist they're not going to trade him. And as we get closer and closer to the time where they could actually get something for him, if they don't trade him before the draft, Dennis, then I believe he will sit. And then game on for both parties. And sad, but you've seen what has happened with the Texans these last few years. They've mismanaged. I thought Bill O'Brien was a good coach, but asking him to, be a jack of all trades just doesn't work. It's hard to do that in this league in the salary cap era. You now make decisions on players based as much on finance as you do playing ability. And if you're a coach, you should be worrying about playing ability. So, it is what it is, but they put themselves in quite a hole. And I think that's the DeAndre Hopkins trade kind of started it. J.J. Watt, who's been a model professional, wanted out, and they granted him his release. They're cutting players as well. So I'm not sure what's going to happen there and so on, but it's even though they have a new GM and a new head coach, new coaching staff, Deshaun Watson cast a big shadow over that team right now, and it's not like he hasn't been a good guy either. He's been great for the community. He's been an outstanding player. I know he's gotten hurt a couple of times, but I'll be curious to see how this plays out.
Russell, Dak Prescott was the latest quarterback to sign a big contract, 4 more years with the Cowboys. These numbers for these quarterbacks are getting larger and larger, and they are taking up a huge chunk of the salary cap. I mean, do you see it ever going down the line where the quarterbacks are going to have their own salary cap?
Well, I would hope not, because I think it would defeat the whole purpose of the salary cap, to be honest with you. You've got to have some, or you've got to expand the salary cap and still fit him in. To do a separate, and listen, there's not 32 $100 million quarterbacks out there either, okay?
Right.
So There are some defensive players who wanted some big money as well. I know they don't want cornerback money, but I'd be surprised if we ever got to that. This is just a rough year to judge anything financially because of the cap going down instead of going up. I'll be curious to see where we are a year from now. If we have a normal football season with normal attendance, et cetera, finances go back up. We're on the verge of some new TV contracts, which is part of why the cap is getting saved a little bit. We're on the verge of a 17th game, it looks like, which helps finances as well. But I have no say in the matter, but I'd be really surprised if they ever went that route.
You like the idea of the 17th game in the regular season?
I would prefer 18, to be honest with you, and knock it down to two preseason games. There's talk it'll be three preseason games. The NFL is going from 14 to 16, and there's always been a 20-game block, Dennis. So maybe it's going to be 17-3 this year. But we're going to have some unusual standings. Are we going to have an 8-8-1 team? Are we going to have a 9-8 team? I guess the plan is that 17th game is going to be an interconference game. So my theory, or if I was doing it, I would have made it 18 games and your slotted game. And you know what I mean by that. I would have just played a home and home with the other two first place teams, or a home and home with the other second place teams. And I think that would have been, and who knows, maybe we'll get to that eventually, but we've had a 16 game season since 1978, barring a couple of strikes and so on. But I was surprised. Listen, there used to be 14 games. You used to play six preseason games. And if you were the defending Super Bowl champion, you played a seventh against the college all-stars.
I do remember that game growing up.
Yeah.
Hey, Russell, didn't the USFL play 18 games?
Yes, they did. And I believe the CFL plays 18 games. I also believe Reggie White played most of a USFL season in 1985 and then came to Philadelphia and played 13 or 14 more games for the Philadelphia Eagles. So he played like 30-something games that year. I'm sure he wasn't the only one to do that either.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, Russell, I want you to put on your GM hat, and you and I are going to go free agent shopping for the Raiders. They clearly need help on defense, but let's just focus on the safety position. And now they have three holes on the offensive line. And if they lose Nelson Aguilar, they're going to need a wide receiver as well. So give me three free agents we should target at those particular positions.
Well, I know they're on the verge of officially trading Trent Brown next week, who they well overpaid for. But I'd like to see them. Gabe Jackson is now gone, and Richie Incognito's gone. And I think if they're going to spend any money, I'd like to see them spend it on Joe Thuney, the guard for the Patriots. And they're not going to necessarily break the bank, but you'll get sizable money. Brandon Scherff was the best guard on the market, but he's been franchised. Two of the better tackles, Cam Robinson and Taylor Moten, were franchised. We have the two tackles from the Chiefs are floating around out there and so on. But I would go with a guy who got the tag last year. He's not getting it this year. And a guy who could help them move the chains. I mean, Josh Jacobs to me is an outstanding running back. But I think they need even more from him in the offensive line until they actually are able to fix a defense that has been subpar for more than a decade.
You can go further back than a decade. The last time they had a really decent defense was the year they went to the Super Bowl in 2002.
Yeah. I think the last time they were ranked, I want to say 2012, they were ranked high. But I always use this example, Dennis. They had a defense in 2016 with the NFL Defensive Player of the Year. And their defensive unit, I believe, gave up 45 touchdowns in 16 games. I'm not including turn. That's just the defensive unit. So.
Yeah, that year, their defense created a lot of turnovers. It gave up a lot of points.
Yep.
But they also created a lot of turnovers. Juju Smith-Schuster seems to be on their radar. What do you make of him as a free agent?
Well, it depends on what Juju we see. Do we see him, as more of a big play guy? And a lot of people credit that to Antonio Brown. opening things up for him when he was in Pittsburgh. It hasn't been the same, but it's also hard to gauge the last 2 years. He played mostly without Ben Roethlisberger in 2019, and this year, you want to talk about lack of balance. I mean, the Steelers offense came out throwing quick this, quick that, quick this, quick that. It was almost like they were trying to get the game over with. And so I don't know what you really get from Juju Smith-Schuster. Is he still have the big play cut capability? Is he strictly a slot receiver who can just get the nasty yards up in the middle? The Raiders still kind of need a stretch guy. And I don't know if he necessarily provides that. To me, he's more of a run after the catch guy than he is a stretch guy.
Well, if they don't resign Aguilar, they're still looking for a number one. Is Juju, is he a number one? Or I view him as a number two. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think he's closer to a two right now. And he was always a great number two opposite of Antonio Brown. So I don't think he's anything. He's elevated his game. I mean, I think he's a quality player. Don't get me wrong. But I don't know if he necessarily fits what they want to do, because they need to get more. I mean, their flash plays now come from Darren Waller as far as a downfield threat. And I think you want somebody on the outside that can do that.
Russell, their ballyhooed free agent class of 2019 and the trade class as well, because I'm going to throw Antonio Brown in there, Tyrell Williams, LaMarcus Joyner, Trent Brown, all gone. They gave out $70 million to those guys in guaranteed money. And now they're looking to sign a tackle, a receiver, and a defensive back. I mean, who deserves the blame? Is we putting it all on John Gruden? Is this partially Mike Mayock, or is it both, a combination of both of them?
Well, I think over the course of, Gruden's been there longer than Mike has. So I don't know if it's necessarily, I don't know, blame is maybe a strong word. But, when you pay as much as they did for Trent Brown and then turn around and trade him, you know, when you pay as much as they did, you expect that guy to be there for a while, okay? LaMarcus Joyner, to me, you know, they're constantly trying to fix their defense with free agents. And the one thing I do like is what Mike Mayock has done is they at least have tried to fix the defensive line with young players, okay? As far as the rest of the defense, they're plugging holes. They've been doing that for at least five or six years, and those guys are one and done or two and done. So they really haven't built anything on defense, even though they've built a young and up-and-coming defensive front. But that can only take you so far.
They have a new defensive coordinator in Gus Bradley. You wrote about him. Good fit for the Raiders?
I think he is, because I think he's a good teacher. And I think that's what the defensive front needs, and because there's still a bunch of young players up there. I'll be curious to see if Jonathan Hankins sticks around, because I think he's one of those guys. I know he's bounced around the last couple of years, but he's one of those guys who plugs the middle, and you can build around him and so on. So I think he's a good fit. But hopefully he fits for a couple of years. I think that's also been one of the problems with the Raiders defensive coordinators. There's so much Raiders defensive coordinators is almost like watching the Cleveland Browns head coaches. Okay, you get no continuity if you're going to change people up after 2 or 3 years.
Russell, I said I don't blame Paul Gunther. I don't think it was all his fault. I still question how much talent or lack of talent
right. The
defensive side of the football.
Well, yeah, and you have to build, and they're probably going to try to fix the back seven again with free agents. And I don't know if that's over the course of time, if that's the right way to go. At the end of the year last year, they were as bad a defense as there was in the league.
They certainly were. I'll get you out of here on this one. John Gruden, he's going to enter year four in 2021. How would you assess the job he's done so far?
Last 2 years have been disappointing because they have let it get away from them. Okay. You know, they're 6-4 in 2019. They had the same record as the Chiefs, if I remember right, in 2019, and went belly up. This year, I think, weren't they 6-3?
They were 6-3, and then they lost to the Chiefs Sunday night to drop 6-4, and then the following.
And they had a golden opportunity. I know home field advantage didn't mean what it was, and they're sitting there with a three-game homestand late in the year, okay, and lost them all. I'd say to the Colts, to the Dolphins, and the Chargers.
Right.
Okay, not necessarily in that order. I think it was, but whatever. But it was a similar pattern that you saw in 2019. So not being able to close the deal, and not being able to close the deal this year, Dennis, when you had an additional playoff spot at your disposal.
Russell, great stuff. Really appreciate you taking the time to join me and sharing your wonderful knowledge of the NFL.
Oh, thank you very much. It was fun being on, and I think I enjoy the older talk more than the almost newer talk and so on. You know, you can talk about Mike Siani, you know, it can't be a bad day. So,
hey, I always tell my family I'm old enough to remember the good days when the Raiders won all these close games, and now they lose them all. And they long for those kind of days. And I'd say, well, at least I did get to experience them. Once again, Raider Nation, Russell is the founder of ProFootballGuru.com. You can also read his articles on FanSided, and you can follow him at BaxFootballGuru. All right, Raider Nation, I want to give a brief moment now to talk about our newest sponsor, which is eBay. Whether rare dead stock or the latest released, find the exact shoe you're looking for as the original sneaker marketplace. eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you have been eyeballing. With eBay's authenticity guarantee, your sneakers are meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators. A team of experienced sneaker authenticators verify the box, logo, stitching, and dozens of other inspection points. Each sneaker also receives an authenticity guarantee tag that includes a digital stamp of authenticity. And it also protects sellers with a verified return process. And for sneaker sellers out there, eBay has eliminated selling fees on sneakers $100 or more, making it free to sell or flip your collection. Go to ebay.com/sneakers today. eBay, the world's best destination for discovering great value and unique selection. All right, Raider Nation, that's going to do it for this edition of the Believe in Raiders podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dennis Ackerman. Thanks so much for listening, and may all your punts find the coffin corner.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.